Thank you all for coming. Lots more gray hair, I see. I remember. I had that same experience too. Ended a little differently. Oh, wait, I could give you names. Yeah. My trying to get out of here went a little differently. But I finally did. So thank you for coming here today. Thank you, George. It was very gutsy. I'm planning an outdoor affair. I mean, that's really amazing, and you did a great job. Thanks for having this. Now, where's George? George. We'll thank George when he comes. There he is. Okay, thanks for coming, everyone. And I'll just start with Northampton State Hospital. Like all roads to hell, this journey began with good intentions. A place to help people, beautiful building, soaring architecture, nice surroundings, good food, healthy environment for healing of body and soul. How did something that began with such noble ideals end up to be so damaging, damning, and deadly? Easy. Early on, the darker side of human nature took over. This place very quickly became a convenient place to put inconvenient people. It was easy to think that patients were being healed in the same way that students sent to Belchertown State School were being taught. It was a social euphemism that conveniently hid a much darker truth. The truth that people were in actuality being warehoused and locked away from polite society, not for their own good necessarily, but for the good of the people they left behind. I'm sure that sometimes families and loved ones really thought that something good was going to happen. Maybe sometimes something really did. But overall, being institutionalized was a living death sentence. Even if you ever got out, you still had that scarlet letter emblazoned on your reputation and your soul. For myself, I will live with that stain for the rest of my life. Even today, many years after my journey through this place, I still feel apart from the rest of society. As active as I have been, as busy as I am, working full-time with a full life, I still have this little part of me that says I'm not part of society, really. For others who were here, I remember that just before the place closed for good, many staff people would say this patient or that patient would never make it on the outside. They would point to this or that behavior, shake their heads, and wonder how the world will ever be able to function without a place like Northampton State Hospital to send these people to. What they did not realize was that the hospital environment actually caused many of these behaviors. Once these people were removed from here and basically retrained in how to cope with life in the community, these behaviors improved or totally disappeared. There have been a few other ex-patients who miss this place. They frankly miss the security. They miss being taken care of, miss not having to deal with the outside world. When I worked as a security guard up here after the closing, I would sometimes see friends of mine walking around the closed buildings actually missing it all, wistfully looking up at the windows of the memorial complex and wishing they had that security blanket back. I hate to say it, but these folks learned their patient roles well and had a lot of trouble making the adjustment back into regular people, or as regular as society would allow them to get, scarlet letter and all. Indeed, it was the memorial complex that we were all in over here. There are a few people left now who are housed in the main building, or as we called it, the main administration building, or as the preservationists called it, Old Main, with kind of a wistful quality. The Gothic monstrosity that is finally now gone. That building was put up in the phase where this was going to be a place of healing. By the time the 1900s came along, we were getting more realistic. The additions to the main building that came after it first opened were far more closer to the institutional norm. By the time I and my friends appeared, there were no illusions as to what this really was. The memorial complex was far more accurate in its architecture regarding the true meaning and purpose of Northampton State Hospital. A warehouse, a gulag, the end of the road. our very own concentration camp right here in the Happy Valley. I remember sitting by the windows across the street, right over there, and looking out on Route 66 and the cars going by, wondering where each and every car was going, who was driving, what their lives were like, wondering if they had families, if they had a dog. It was the only escape I had. My reality was a grimy, smoke-filled day hall with nothing to do but endure ennui. When I was locked up in this building here, this building here, I had a really good view of the flagpoles out the windows. I looked up at the flag of Massachusetts and thought, wow, I'm a prisoner of the state. What did I ever do to get to this place? What did I ever do to become a ward of the state? That flag was a nice little twist of the knife. It symbolized just how deep the problem of institutionalization went and symbolized just how difficult it would be to change things. So, change did begin at the state level, instigated by the legal community, led by Steve Schwartz and Bob Fleischner and the Center for Public Representation. Bob, is Bob here? Bob. Back at the beginning of the consent decree, the state of Massachusetts actually said to our lawyers, yes, sue us. We know it's bad. Give us the tools we need to make the changes we need to make. Give us a legal instrument we can use to enforce these needed changes. And poof, the consent decree was born. Well, maybe not poof. Now, what were we up against? Mental health professionals who truly did not believe we could ever get better and be able to live in the outside world. A general public who did not want us around, and definitely not in their backyards. It would be an uphill battle all the way. Add to that the people who are employed here and did not want to lose their jobs. Northampton State Hospital had taken on a life of its own. It was the elephant in the room, the thing that no one ever wanted to talk about, but was an unavoidable fact of life in Northampton and the region. We needed legislation to finally kill the beast. What we went through. People who were trained into patienthood did not make the adjustment easily. In the early days, the local newspaper made constant indictments of the Department of Mental Health by vilifying the patients they let go. That's actually where I got my start, as an advocate, standing up to all this directly with the paper and the mayor of Northampton, who was also attacking us, not our current mayor. The police department learned on the fly how to deal with patients who were in the community and behaving badly, unfamiliar with the new social requirements. Picket demonstrations by neighbors finding out they had ex-patients living in their neighborhood. It went on and on. Through all the turmoil, eventually things started to even out. We still get little glimpses of the old days when a new residence opens up in a neighborhood and other people are unhappy, but it's nothing like it was before. As a sidebar, the main building and later on the entire site became the haunted house on the hill par excellence. It attracted curious people from all over the country, people who wondered what it was like to be a patient here, people who just wanted to get scared. As a security officer up here, it was my job to catch these people. I worked the overnight shift. I had a total blast doing this. I had the most arrests with convictions of any guard who was ever up here. One of my favorite exercises when I caught someone, had them detained, waiting for the state police to arrive, I would ask them just what they came up here for. Often they just said to get scared. They heard the place was really spooky and haunted. I would just lean over them and say, "Boo! I am the scariest thing you're gonna see up here." If they really wanted to be scared, I would tell them the truth about what it was like to be here as a patient. Ironically though, I don't think they're ever really interested in the reality of the patient experience. Of course, some of them did get the prisoner experience, which is somewhat similar. Okay, flash forward now. It's years later. The beast is dead. But is it really? I actually don't think so. It lives on in psychiatric wards and general hospitals, which I don't have too much of a problem with, believe it or not. yeah, sometimes you do need to get away for a bit. It's too bad, it's to a mental ward right now, but it's a damn sight better than being written off forever in an institution. General hospitals don't want people there forever. It's not cost effective. Hey, I'll take it. In my perfect world, though, there will be more respite facilities, more in-house treatment for people having psychotic breaks. I truly do think that having a psychotic break should not dictate how you live the rest of your life. I truly believe that a person having a psychotic break would eventually be able to recover fully if they're helped through it in the right way from the start. It would be labor intensive at the start, but the long-term benefits to both the person and society would be incalculable. But that's just me. However, we have now already seen how much an institution contributes to the bad behavior of people who are already having problems. We have seen here that people getting out of institutions who are totally written off by everyone, professionals included, could vastly improve just by being away from places like this. The Windhorse Project here in Northampton has the right idea. Help people where they are, help them recover where they are. Of course, they're not medication oriented. So for now, they're the orphans of mental health care reform. No pharmaceuticals, no money. But it is the direction we need to go. Even SAMHSA gets it, the SAMHSA, Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, the federal level of mental health care. They have an ad series on television now. Maybe you've seen it. The tagline is, "Mental illness, what a difference a friend makes." Ain't it the truth? That really says it all. What a difference a friend does make. What a difference human being-oriented help makes. Not drugs, not hospitals, maybe someone's couch to crash on for a few days and some caring words. I don't know. I really don't have a definitive answer for how to deal with the phenomenon we currently call mental illness, because that's such a varied thing and different for everyone who goes through it. But I do know that help for people needs to be tailored to the person and their individual needs. You cannot take someone, who's having major mental problems and lock them up with 50 other people who are also having major mental problems and expect them to get better. There's only one reason for doing that, and that reason is expediency for the people sending them there. The danger is always with us, though, to backslide. I remember once attending a meeting of the Save Old Main group. They actually asked me to come. I said, "Do you know who I am?" At some point, someone said, "Yes, we could really make it nice and show them how it's done." I said, "Stop right there. How what can be done? Make it really nice, a nice place to lock people up, really nice surroundings, good food, healthy environment. Isn't this how this whole sleigh ride began?" But that's how all of this can begin so easily once again. It will seem like a good idea at the time. It will seem convenient and cost effective. We will rationalize it by saying something like, "Well, it's for their own good." We might even make the accommodations really nice to make us feel better about what we're doing. That is how it will all begin again, mark my words, here today. The Commonwealth of Massachusetts is enlarging Worcester State Hospital right now. They're making it nicer. Okay, we must remain vigilant about this. We can never forget what happened here. This was failed social policy that we need to hold up as an example of what does not work, and never let it happen again. Thank you.